we have our first official look at the Spider-Man costume? Are we going to do a spoiler-free review of Daredevil Season 3? And what is next on Marvel's slate to be filmed? Find out that all here on Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites. This is episode 201, and we are coming to you live from Hell's Kitchen because that show is so good, but we will not spoil it because we're not that kind of internet show. You've had it for 4 days, you have lives, you had a weekend. I got it early, so I caught up. It is so good, and we'll talk about that very spoiler-free. Amy's on episode 6, so we're going to stay very careful about the end spoilers. Mm-hmm. We'll be very delicate. I promise you, you will know nothing that the trailers didn't already tell you except for our thoughts, tone, vague booking all day. That's what's going to happen. So you can subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News. You can find us at youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. And you can find us through Popcorn Talk's website, popcorntalknetwork.com. You can follow us on Twitter at MarvelNewsPTN or at Popcorn Talk. And if you retweet a link to the show whilst we are live, Aunt Manthony in the booth will retweet you.
What's up, everybody? It's good to have the Devils of Hell's Kitchen back. Oh my god, I can't wait to start that series. Unfortunately, I'm going to sit through some spoilers.
Oh, no, we're going to be spoiler-free this week. Okay. You've got a week. Next week, we're going deep spoilers, and you're good for this week. We'll be vague booking.
Blessed be thee.
No, we got you. We got you.
Thank you.
No Catholic guilt about hearing the show before it was too soon. So this week, I'm joined by... I have never actually met you, man.
Well, we had that brief handshake at the beginning.
Very briefly,
yes,
yeah.
But I feel like we learned a lot
we
from
did.
That handshake.
In the moment,
yes.
And the shirt is already, like, I'm sold go. As a, you as a human.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that, Koi. Yes, absolutely. Frank Moran here. I do other shows here at Popcorn Talk and AfterBuzz as well.
Hell yeah. And you do Marvel TV, right?
I don't. I've only watched it from afar.
Okay, gotcha.
But so I do box office breakdown with this one next to me.
Hi, that's me.
And as ever, the ever lovely Amy. Mm-ts.
Yes, that's me. Hi, guys. Amy Cassandra Mm-ts, Martinez. Yeah, and I'm already in the chat, so feel free to jump in. Again, no spoilers for Daredevil at all, please. Yet. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Yes. Live chat yes. as well. Be as vague as possible. Do not say anything that... Imagine if you were in a live chat with your friend. Imagine if you were with your friends at lunch and one of them just randomly blurted out, like, Bruce Willis is dead. It would ruin
what?
The Sixth Sense.
He's in Daredevil?
No.
I'm just kidding.
I was like, wait a second. Have I ruined everything? Did I do the thing I said I wouldn't do? So, like, just, you know, be considerate and make sure that people don't get spoiled because the show is amazing in that it evolves while you're watching it. So, this week is a fairly light news week, so we'll be diving into what has broken, but it is very light. And that means if you guys have any Twitter questions or live chat questions, it's a good week to do them. So throw some questions at us. We will do our best to answer them. But first, happy birthday, Ryan Reynolds. You have given me so much joy, and Deadpool wouldn't exist in the way it does without you. So, Ryan Reynolds, thank you. Just enjoy. We know he's watching on his birthday, so I wanted to give him the live shout out.
Of course,
Ryan Rodney Reynolds, happy birthday.
Rodney?
His middle name's Rodney.
Really?
He was born to be a superhero. Slash his parents had a sense of humor. His name is Ryan Rodney Reynolds.
That's awesome.
And his gin is fantastic if you're over 21. And also, we have this week that the MCU release schedule, the next thing coming up, is, in fact... Doctor Strange 2. So, I was not aware that the shuffle would go this far. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 might have a 2-year delay. It is currently directorless. The script is conceptually, theoretically, physically, spiritually going to be written by James Gunn. I don't know what that's going to mean for the whole project. It makes sense it's been delayed. What I think is interesting is that we had Spider-Man coming out and then Guardians coming out after Infinity War. Those are the first two. And I thought, oh, they're going to do a big space opera and then the most grounded. So when that got delayed, Doctor Strange taking its place is still that same very outlandish, very down to earth. What do you guys think about these two following Avengers 4?
No, I like it. And I feel like Doctor Strange was a nice introduction for the character, mm-hmm. but I felt like he was a really step up in Infinity War to be able to see him do his stuff. Really on a large scale. So I'm really curious now that we've kind of got the nuts and bolts out of the way of Doctor Strange,
right.
Where we take him in his own second film.
I do feel like we met Stephen Strange and got to know him as a novice, you know, sorcerer. But I think that I agree Infinity War was the Sorcerer Supreme. I'd like to see that character. I'd like to see fully formed, like he's got the eyes, got the cloak, he's mm-hmm. in. I want to see the character he was in Infinity War in a film. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm also just curious. I think, I mean, I've said this millions of times on the show, but I'm still pretty fragile. So I'm very, you know, from Infinity War, obviously. So I'm just curious to see what they're going to do. And I really like Doctor Strange. I think that the first film really, if you've never heard of anything related to Doctor Strange, it was like, holy moly.
Yeah.
Like, it's like being on a trip. if you know what I mean. So yeah. Yeah.
It also leads to our theory that the exchanging of lives, which I've said since the movie got out, that the people that are alive now are conveniently, coincidentally, the original Avengers, with an exception or two. I think we lose a lot of the core team. I think we lose Cap, whether we lose Iron Man, and in exchange for getting these characters back. You'll also notice Doctor Strange and Spider-Man are the first two movies that are back, and those were some of the first to get dusted. So, I mean, Spider-Man was the last to get dusted, but they all got dusted in the movie. I don't think it's a coincidence that the first two movies we get after Infinity War are characters that we saw die in 3. So I think that there is definitely a swap. I don't know, but it is interesting that two characters we know to be dead are in the first two movies after the fourth film.
Well, and if they want to go cosmic, the Doctor Strange, and they just restarted the series with Mark Waid writing it,
right,
where they take him out into the universe to kind of see what it is to be, what magic's like on different cultures and different worlds throughout the universe.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to still kind of touch their toe into the cosmic side, that's a Doctor Strange could be a good character to do that.
And the Ant-Man world ties into Doctor Strange beautifully. The quantum realm and all of that, those visuals definitely tie together. We know Ant-Man's going to be continuing on. He survived because he was in the quantum realm. And we also know that Nick Fury and Maria Hill have been seen on Spider-Man set. So all the people got dusted are showing up pretty quickly. So there's a lot of interesting, it's tricky because you have to announce things like this, but it also is like, how is that possible? Because they're dead. Like, Spider-Man's dead. They addressed it in a video we're going to watch in a minute, and I think that's very smart of Marvel to get ahead of it a bit, but it's very interesting. How do you announce these things without being like, wait a second? So, speaking of the world of Marvel, to keep these marvelous lights on, tangent, Loot Crate is keeping us afloat today. Thank you very much to Loot Crate. Now, if you don't know Loot Crate is the ultimate monthly subscription service. They are the original monthly subscription service, and it is a focus on things you love. It is a box delivered directly to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. They are from designers that love the stuff that you love. They make the stuff you love to make, and they have over 30 million crates sold because they're good at their jobs. So they have the WWE franchise, they have a Nickelodeon, they have DC, Marvel, Blizzard, Harry Potter, Fallout. They have so much of the things you love in these magical boxes, and you are guaranteed a t-shirt in every single case slash crate, because it's a crate. I'm going to stick to the branding. Now, Loot Crate packs $45 worth of value into each crate for less than $20 a month, so you are getting 45 for 20 a month. That is like 57 or so percent off, which is a great bargain. They also offer 16 other awesome crates from gaming to anime, so you can populize, you can pick the one you want, you can dive into those things. And we at Marvel love the marvelous things they get in these boxes because, like, they had that Scarlet Spider hoodie and all these things. Like, as a diehard Ride or Die Scarlet Spider fan, that is the move. I can't find him, but he's here.
He's right here. We're so right there.
This very hoodie was in one of these Loot Crates. So Loot Crate are fantastic. And through us, if you go to lootcrate.com/Marvel Movie News and enter the code Marvel Movie News, spelled like you'd spell any of those words, you get 30% off your subscription. So that is 30% off of that mere $20. That is what? 30 off of 20 is $6 off. $14 if taxes aren't, I don't know about taxes, but that is insane for the things you get. So check out lootcrate.com/Marvel Movie News and use the code Marvel Movie News to save 30% off them thangs.
Yeah.
You guys think about any notes on Loot Crate?
They're awesome, and I just love how they appeal to
See,
all.
It's tricky. Anytime
it's,
this
it's
is
Loot Crate, how they appeal to all kinds of fandoms, including Harry Potter.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah,
very important.
They had one a couple of 3 or 4 months back where they had the Hank Pym.
Yes.
With the glass that's right there with all those different sizes on it, which I love tremendously.
They're very inventive.
Yes.
And Loot Crate original shirts are usually pretty spectacular, which I dig. So that is our Loot Crate news for the day. Moving on to our Spider-Man news, we have a couple of beautiful Spider-Man bits. And one of those is that Tom Holland himself appeared on Jimmy Kimmel. After all the paparazzi shots of the suit, they were smart to get ahead of that and have the suit himself show up. It's rad. Check it out.
I guess it's Spider-Man that we have here instead of Gamma.
Oh my gosh. What?
Give me back my mask. No! Give me back my mask!
No!
Hey, you.
What's going on? To me, is adorably Spider-Man because using a cone is not just funny, but I can see that happening in the comics.
What?
Where are you?
It's also very Brooklyn, which is where they're filming.
Yeah.
Hey, you stole my mask!
No, I didn't!
It's just like being in a comic book, I would think.
If Guillermo appeared?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah.
If there was a late-night talk show Spider-Man episode? Yeah, totally.
It would totally, yeah.
Now, the suit itself looks like a blend between I would say some of the old Resistance suits, a tad of the Superior Spider-Man suit because of the coloring, mm-hmm. but mainly to me it looks like the old Ditko with like some darker coloring. It's got like the original line work, and the Ditko suit actually was, it looks black with blue accents because that's how they had to do the color back thing, so you had less color options. So this reminds me of the old school Ditko more than it reminds me of the Superior. That could be my bias, but I definitely dig this suit. While this is playing, what do you guys think of the new suit?
The one thing that, as much as I love Marvel's interpretation of Spider-Man, the one thing that kind of bugged me about the first costume that you saw in Civil War and even Homecoming is the blue with the black stripe on it. Mm-hmm. I feel like it just seems so odd to me, just in terms of an aesthetic for the design.
Yeah.
But now coloring it with black and that armband still around there, it still fits in better, so it still seems more like I'm getting that classic Spider-Man look.
Yeah, I think it modernized, but classic. And yes. That's a hard line to walk, and they seem to have gotten it. Plus, the material itself looks fantastic. The way it moves, the way he's able to be agile.
Yeah, and I've always been a sucker, because I know some artists, it's always varied in the comic books, whether they want to dial more into the light blue or the dark blue or even black in terms of the coloring of the costume. And I've always been a sucker for when some of the artists have kind of gone into the dark black.
Right. The black suit's my favorite suit of all time, like the black with the white spider, and that's going to be an issue with, you know, licensing and Sony and all that stuff. So to get any of that in this is I think, a really cool option. Also, Tom Holland being Spider-Man in every appearance, because he is Spider-Man, always makes me happy. Yes. Like, Tom Holland's so adorable, and is Peter Parker.
Yeah. I feel like this costume makes him look more mature. It's like he's been through stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's an adult version.
Now, I'm curious how there are so many suits in this movie. We've got that stealth suit. We've got the regular suit. We've got this suit. An actual backflip, because Tom Holland is real-life Spider-Man.
Oh my gosh.
It's interesting, and how they're going to make that storyline work. So this movie not only has at least a few villains, it also has a lot of story to catch up on. Plus, they're on a field trip and multiple suits. I'm really curious if those suits tie into different locations. Does this have anything to do with S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because it definitely has some S.H.I.E.L.D. flavor to it. It looks like, you know, a S.H.I.E.L.D. design spider suit. Is that something from Nick Fury? Is the stealth suit from Nick Fury? Does Nick Fury hire Spider-Man to do something incognito in Europe, and that's why he gets the stealth suit, then gets a S.H.I.E.L.D. suit? Theories.
Very true. I mean, and it kind of ties into the nice Horizon Labs time of Spider-Man's life when he was designing a lot of those other costumes. So if there's like nods to that in terms of he gets all of a sudden access to a lab where he can kind of tweak and reconfigure all these suits, would be really cool.
And he got dusted, and he comes back somehow. Who knows if he has a suit? I doubt the suit would survive if they use any sort of, like, who knows what that means for the characters? Since the movie ended with everything getting dusted, what does that mean for his suits?
And I'm curious to see, obviously, you know, these characters are returning. How are they going to show that first scene of them coming back?
That's why 4 is so exciting. Yeah.
Like, you want them naked? That's not what I was going for, Frank. But I don't know. I don't know. Is it just going to be like dust coming together, or are they not going
to
be babies?
They have to come back. So yeah. I mean, clearly, and that's why Avengers 4 is so exciting. Is it's the Avengers 3 was a setup of 22 movies, right? So this is like a setup of 24 movies, and in between all that, 25 with Captain Marvel, it has to answer a lot of questions. It has to solve a lot of problems. So I think this might make more money than Avengers 3, which is like. Yeah, I'm so excited for this movie, and it can't come soon enough. I also think each of these suits ties to a specific purpose. I think they have to be utilized for some tactile reason, like in the video game or in the comics, you know, leaning either of those directions. In the video game recently, there's different suits for different tasks, but in the comics, like, he's had to have the armor suit, he's had insulated suits to fight Electro, he's had all those things. I think that as we grow with this younger Spider-Man, you can incorporate that kind of thing into the movies, and I think that it's smart to do it from the beginning so people aren't thinking it's a cop-out to sell toys, which it also is.
Well, and we also kind of got a little bit of that already in Avengers 3,
right?
You know, when Tony gives him the new suit. Mm-hmm. So it already has different things, and you're learning, well, you're kind of learning through Peter.
Right.
To deal with all of those. So I think that would be something interesting to really just take off with it.
True. But the one thing I do like is that, and sometimes it does get downplayed, is Peter Parker's intelligence. And so rather than have Tony Stark make a suit for him, I really want to have him have a hand in designing future suits.
I always love that he made the web shooters and then Tony modified them. I always love that he designed the webbing so it wasn't like that cop-out. Like, I was really afraid when they announced that Tony Stark was going to be so integral, it'd be like dumbing down Peter, but he's a scientist, and I agree, that's really important to the character. So I like this take, I like the suit, I like that he's, if you look at it, in all of the Sam Raimi movies, he had two suits. I mean, obviously the costume designers modified him and stuff, but overall he had the regular Spider-Man suit, and then Spider-Man 3 had the black suit.
Mm-hmm.
We've had him already have his homemade suit, his Spider-Man suit, his Iron Spider suit. Now there's at least 3 suits in this movie, so that's 6 in his run. So it's a lot more financially beneficial. But it's also really interesting to have like so much to play with if he's using his intelligence to build these suits. So I'm excited by the multiple suits. And once again, slow news week. So sorry if we were on suit talk too long, but I love Spider-Man. He's my guy. So in the world of Spider-Man, I also want to show you guys this music video, which is a song that's debuting in Spider-Man. But in the music video, we got to see lots of new footage. So check out, we'll have to talk over it because, you know, legal, but check out this new music video.
That's already gorgeous.
The style of animation is just so beautiful. And the way they use color, not bashfully. They lean into color, not away from it. It's so much fun.
Oh.
Everything I see of this movie just gets me more and more excited for it.
I'm prepared to lose my mind.
Yes. And this is a movie I feel like, yes, we're finally embracing the fact that comic books can be ridiculous and crazy and really far out there. Let's just do a movie. We don't need to do two or three movies to set up a big, huge crossover. We can just go right into multiple Earths, multiple Spider-Men.
And, like, speech bubbles and thought lines. And yes. Like, it doesn't shy away from anything. This is the opposite of a dark and gritty franchise reboot. This is the opposite of a studio going like, it's too comic-y, put them in leather and call them X-Men, even though they're just mutants. Like, this is the opposite. After 20 years, like, without X-Men, we wouldn't be where we are now, but I'm saying 20 years ago, we had to make it more mainstream. This is as far from mainstream as it gets, and I really love that they're embracing their roots, and it's fun, it's light-spirited. I don't listen to Post Malone personally, but I know that this is like a very young sound, which made me feel real old just now. But like, this is the world that he's living in. I love that.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because it looks futuristic, even though it's going back to its roots, if that makes sense.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah. So and the lyrics are on there. They're right there.
Yeah.
That's so freaking cool.
And what a great way to utilize the movie's tone for your music video. What a great opportunity. And Post Malone's huge, so it's a really great opportunity for crossover. I also just a lot of this footage we've seen before, but we see a few seconds on either side of it. We see more context. And they've also, it's a CGI film, so they can have speech bubbles in scenes in the movie that they don't have in the trailers because you're adding that shit.
That's true.
So I really, we don't know what we're getting into. As the trailers evolve, we see more of the style of the film, like Spider-Gwen's face is so beautiful, and the style and texture of the face is different than her clothes, is different from the background, and the way they've been able to build this animation out as the trailers have evolved, we can see even more here.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
Yeah, it's a friend of mine, she's been working, she did the Lemurs and DreamWorks, and she did Rapunzel's hair and Tangled, but now she's working on Spider-Man's webbing and saying that it's the coolest job she has ever had.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Gosh.
Raptor in the live chat. That's why I accidentally said Gwyneth Paltrow, because I saw that peripherally. There is a leak of Gwyneth Paltrow on the internet. I'm not going to say what the leak is, but we don't do paparazzi or leaks on this show because I don't support vultures. Except Adrian Toomes. So I really think this movie is going to change what animation is. I think it's going to be bigger than just Spider-Man, which is saying a lot, because Spider-Man is arguably one of the biggest characters of all time. I think this movie is going to give animation a bit more credibility beyond Pixar. Like, Pixar kind of holds animation, and Disney is right there with them because it's one company, but I think people see the word Pixar and they're like, oh, I'll see that. And it's got a guarantee. Mm-hmm. I think this style of animation and this world is going to make it so superheroes can have theatrical animated films. And I think that the genre of animation, the format of animation, is going to be allowing for stories we wouldn't see in the future that is live action. Okay, so I think this is a great, I think this is Iron Man. I think this year we got the video game and this animated movie that are going to be as zeitgeist shifting as the Iron Man movie was in 2008. I think we're going to see this now after 2018, the Spider-Man fissure shift. It's going to be crazy.
It gets me excited. But it also, for Sony, who's kind of had some stumbling blocks and how they've handled the Spider-Man property, to now come off with this, it gets me really excited. But gets me, I wish the live action side was still as exciting as their animated offerings.
Yeah, I personally am a staunch Venom defender. I really dug what they did because it was so weird, and I think that Marvel would never have done anything that weird, and I think that Sony is taking chances that often don't land, and the chance they took with Venom really landed for me, but I know I'm in the staunch minority as far as critics, but I really think that it doing well gives Sony more groundwork to make weird choices.
Yeah.
So I think when this does well, I think that Venom's done well, I think we'll get a really unique opportunity to see the Spider-Verse be something that we'd never see in the hands of Marvel or in the hands of another property. For better or worse, Kraven might be awful. Morbius might be awful. I might be like, why did and I say this was a good thing. But for now, I love there being, it's like a spinner rack. I've said before, like, it's like walking to a comic store and being like, oh, a new artist in this book. Oh, a new writer in this book. That's not how I see the character, but look, there's more. And I think that having multiple studios making these movies is only going to benefit us until it doesn't.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for this because I think it's going to encourage other studios to do a theatrical run. DC's been handling us in animation for a long time. I love DC animated films. I hope this is so good that it makes DC want to release things theatrically.
Yeah.
You know, I want all those things. I've been talking a lot. How do you guys think about animation?
Well, I think that, I mean, I've talked about this before, that if there are more things for people to watch and absorb comics through, or, you know, get introduced to characters that they wouldn't have otherwise known, that I'm here for it. You know, what is it? Spider-Ham?
Yes.
Spider-Ham,
yeah.
Yeah, so, like, that's one that I never heard of until doing this show, or maybe Marvel TV Weekly. But, like, here, you know? So I think that that's awesome, and I think that it looking so freaking cool certainly doesn't hurt. And I think that even younger audiences will be like, oh, wow, this is cool. I want to watch this. And then this could really, like you say, really start something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that a lot. And I think that, especially if you're trying to decide, okay, like, I do want to watch a superhero kind of movie, but I don't want to cry my eyes out like I did with Infinity War, then you can watch this, or you can watch Venom. Like, there are so many different kinds of properties out there that they feel so different that you're never going to feel like you're getting the same thing over and over again.
And that's what I mean about being weird. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it was a very formulaic 90s style movie, but that in the modern day is not what's common. And I said before, we can kick back and have a beer and watch it because the comedy is so weird. Mm-hmm. That's what's so different, is the style of comedy. That style of comedy wouldn't live in Marvel. So I like that there's that option. And by diversifying all of our things, I wanted to get the stats here, but the Spider-Man video game in its first weekend actually outsold Spider-Man Homecoming. That's how big that game was. It made like 248 million to 211 million versus the movie. So it did like 30 million more than the movie did, and that's how huge that game was. So I think it's really interesting that we're living in a time where there's so many mediums, there's so many things that you have the option to have these storylines that couldn't exist in the other, and I think this will be that for animation.
Yeah, and the new DLC for the Spider-Man game is coming out today as well, too.
Yes, that was the third bit of Spider-Man news. Today, right now, it made all the money in its major release, but as we speak, you can pick up the DLC, which I know very little about, which is very exciting. I know Black Cat's involved, but I don't know what the DLC includes except for what three suits it has, which are all gorgeous, and that Black Cat's involved. But I like that I get to replay the game with new eyes, and I like that. So it's $10 just for that one DLC, but it's $25 to pre-buy all three. So if you know you're going to get all three, save the $5. If not, you can pick up just that one for $10, which is very exciting to me.
Yeah, just for me, in terms of the films, it's for me, Spider-Man's rogue gallery, I like them in relation to Batman and, or excuse me, Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And seeing them, like Venom, without any context to Spider-Man just didn't really excite me.
Sure.
So for me, Kraven. If you're going to do Kraven's Last Hunt, I feel like you need Spider-Man to tell that story. And whether Marvel and Sony will agree that like that, yeah, we'll let Tom Holland be in that film. Who knows?
Right. Does need Spider-Man for Kraven's Last Hunt.
Yes.
I totally agree there. And I had said the same thing about Venom because of, like, the suit and, like, how it works. And they took the animation origin and they kind of, like, retrofitted it to themselves. They included John Jameson. They did enough things.
Mm-hmm.
But I still, like, what's he hunting if not Spider-Man?
Yes.
Like, that's not even a movie. So I definitely agree with you there. And I'm really curious what they do going forward, especially since Tom Holland's contract with Marvel does expire soon. That handshake agreement, I want to say, is only 5 or 6 films, and he's done 5 now.
Hold on to it for dear life.
Wow.
Yeah, if you think about it, like, he's done Civil War, he's done Infinity War, he's done Homecoming, and now he's doing Far From Home. So that next, I see the 4th. I'm not good at math, but yeah, somewhere in there. I think the Spider-Man zeitgeist shift is upon us. I think 2018 we'll look back on and see the video game, we'll see this movie, and the next year getting Far From Home. Everything's changing, all for the better. I'm very excited about it. But also in the world of Marvel, we have,
oh my gosh,
a theme park coming. Now, this theme park, I have never been to the Florida Spider-Man ride, but I've wanted to my whole life. Since I was a kid, and it was in the back of Marvel Comics, and I went like, ah! I've been to Disneyland, California, but never Disney World, so this Spider-Man ride has haunted me. We are getting a full theme park at Disney's California Adventure of all things Marvel, and 2020 will bring about Phase 1, which is much sooner than I expected. What do you guys think about a Marvel world?
It is awesome. I mean, the way you've been building it out, I mean, the Star Wars, now Marvel, it's just incredible. And if you're going to put some your property in somebody's hands to kind of conceptualize that and bring it to reality, how can you go wrong with Disney and the Disney Imagineers?
Yeah, I think as far as worlds go, like having a Marvel universe to go to physically go to, that's like one of the coolest things in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like Harry Potter, you know, like you go and you read about all these things and you're like, holy moly, I'm here. And I'm not a big fan of roller coasters. I actually get really, really scared, but I would totally go to it and check it out and see. And I'm curious, like, what about the food or, you know, everything that encompasses a park, really?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah.
No, a friend of mine, she works at Marvel doing a lot of their live entertainment events and stuff, mm-hmm. like the Marvel tour that they're doing, that big live show. But then she just posted on social media that she got invited to be a part of this new the Marvel theme park that they're doing.
Yeah.
And just seeing that invitation, which is just, you know, like it coming from S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's like, we had it quoting Nick Fury at the end of Iron Man. And she's like, oh, I've never been more jealous. I was just like, dang it. That would be, what a great job that would be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ugh.
You've got connections, though. That's cool.
No, yeah, they all do cool stuff. I only watch them do cool things. They do them all.
So that is arriving very soon. Within basically 2018 is almost over. We have mere months left, so 2020 is not nearly as far away as it should feel. But I'm really excited for that because Disney is already incredible. The one good thing about a Monopoly is you can go to one park and experience all the things. So since they own everything, you can go to this one park, experience Marvel, experience Star Wars, experience Pixar. I'm really excited about it because I love the feeling of being a kid again, and Disney definitely captures that. So to meet Spider-Man, to visit Wakanda, to do all those things.
Oh, yeah. Well, right after Black Panther came out, I went to California Adventure, and Black Panther was there.
That's such a cool, like, it brings back that childlike wonder.
Yes, there were kids in front of me freaking out just as much as I was.
Oh, that's so adorable.
Yeah, you relate. I get it. This is cool.
But to me, this is a constant battle between my excitement to want to see this in real life, going against my hatred of waiting in long lines.
That's fair. That's
worth
fair.
It's like,
oh, man.
Worth it. Yeah. No, and then I went back because, Black Panther, I couldn't get to him the first time, but then I went back and I waited for him because before
you
that.
You pounced
was
on
just,
him?
Oh, that was good. Yes, I did. Yep.
Nope.
No.
Yeah. So to the quasi-rude fellow in the live chat, the video game is more expensive than movies cost, but out in LA, movies cost about $20 versus mm-hmm. video games $60. But also, the video game, we don't know how much it costs to make. I don't know the figures of the box office versus cost ratio. I do know that it made more money that weekend, and also, I just found the stats. So the Sony PS4 has sold 3.3 million units in its first 3 days of release. The PS4 is the number one selling thing of all time. The next highest is 3.1 million units, which was God of War, another exclusive. While Sony did not provide an original number with a retail price of $60 for the game, the 3.3 million copies roughly translates to 198 million, crushing the 117 million opening weekend box office. So, mm-hmm. in terms of sheer figures, it has outsold, which was my point. Don't be a dick. So, in the world of television, it is time for Marvel Movie News TV time.
That's your first time hearing this.
Oh, thanks.
Exactly. Oh, man.
The silence?
Okay,
Marvel Movie News.
There we go.
We're talking TV time.
There's the magic.
Yeah. I love this so much.
So he did a song for DC, and then so Roxy had this magical TV time because they focus on DC TV over there a lot because there's a lot of great DC TV. Mm-hmm. And we were like, well, we like Marvel TV. So the same dude made us this awesome song, so we thank you. So in the world of TV, let's talk Luke Cage first because we can avoid even like light spoilers because Luke Cage, unfortunately, has been canceled. So that means Iron Fist and Luke Cage, two out of our five heroes, have gotten the Thanos snap. They have been dusted. They are no longer with us. Half and half. Balance. So it is very interesting. I think that this gives a very interesting opportunity to either come back with a Heroes for Hire show, saying that it is a new show. They could either bring those characters to the Disney streaming service, but I feel like that's unlikely. I feel like that's what everyone assumes is going to happen, that we'll get a Disney streaming version of these characters. But I think that ties the characters, Mike Coulter and Finn Jones play those takes on Luke Cage and Iron Fist too much to Disney, where the other characters might live on Netflix. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think Daughters of the Dragon, Heroes for Hire, all those things might come back on a new service, but I don't think that the actors nor the lawyers would want to deal with the ramifications of Netflix and Disney streaming sharing concepts and concept of characters. Mm-hmm. We identify Finn Jones and Mike Coulter and all of their supporting cast with the Netflix universe. I don't see that shifting, not to be the bearer of bad news or Brad news. I really think it's the end of days for those shows unless they come back with A Daughter to the Dragon or A Heroes for Hire and call it a new show. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm not that worried. I think I was the first few days. I was kind of in shock. But yeah, I think we are going to get, you know, either Daughters of the Dragon, Heroes for Hire on Netflix. I feel like especially the way that the second season of Iron Fist ended, people loved it, and rightfully so. I think that they listened. They're like, you know what? And Luke Cage did fantastic, too. This last season was amazing. I think they're going to use those two together. I mean, they have to. They really do. Like, we loved it.
Yeah, well, it's like both characters are I enjoy both characters individually, but... Mm-hmm. For me, I'm a soft pop, reading comic books for my whole life. I've always liked the hero concept more.
Yeah.
So I always enjoyed the two of them when they are together.
Right.
So if you're going to give me a, you know, a 13-part series where the two of them teaming up, I'm going to be way more excited than I probably would be about individual seasons for either one of them.
Their dynamics together is amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the comic. Like the recent Heroes for Hire comic was very... It ran a long time, it did well, and they've always done well together. And also, the moment that Finn Jones showed up in Luke Cage, that Iron Fist was really, really interesting as compared to the whole season of the Iron Fist, because they knew what the dynamic was, they knew what that relationship was. And him wearing a sweet Christmas hoodie, that those little moments exist because of the brotherhood. Mm-hmm. Like, they exist because they're bros together. So, I would love a Heroes for Hire show if they came back in that format. I would love a Daughter of the Dragon show, because we saw... Spoilers for the end of Iron Fist. I'm not going to say what happened, but we saw a thing that would cause that to make more sense.
Yeah.
We also saw at the end of Iron Fist the most dynamic version of the Iron Fist character we've seen yet. So there's a lot of mysteries wrapped up in Iron Fist season 2 I'd love to see solved in another show, like the corpse, like the last 5 minutes, like all of those things I want to see answered. And that landed at the show that I've been waiting for. So I feel like what happened with Iron Fist, at least, was you had season 1 be so brutal that season 2 had to recover, but they were starting at a deficit. So it was good, but it was already in a brr. So I feel like just 3 never had a chance. Mm-hmm. Whereas Luke Cage had an interesting thing where the first half of Luke Cage, everyone agreed they loved. And then there's a big thing that happened at the halfway point. A lot of people didn't love the second half. And then the second season had a lot to answer for because of that. And then the second season had an ending a lot of people didn't like. So yeah. I feel like both these shows came out from a very, like, tricky standpoint for season 3. And I don't know the numbers because Netflix doesn't release them. I don't know if this was done financially. I don't know if it was done to, you know, take shots at Marvel. I don't know if this was done because of scheduling madness. Like, what do you guys think caused it?
I've heard that it was, what is it, creative differences for Luke Cage. So with the script that they actually, like, had turned in parts of the script that they were hoping to do for the next season... And Netflix didn't like that. So, I mean, that's kind of sad, obviously. But, I mean, even we got a little hint of the future of what could be back in Defenders.
Right.
With, you know, Iron Fist and Luke Cage. And then when Iron Fist came on Luke Cage, it was even better. So I think that just those moments alone, that really holds hope for the future. Even if they didn't like the script that Luke Cage had.
And I'd love to see any of these guys pop up in other shows. I also, this isn't a spoiler, but I like that Daredevil felt like a Daredevil show. It didn't feel like a Defender show. It didn't feel like it had to share things.
Yeah.
That doesn't give anything away. But I really like that those worlds can exist together or separate. I like that it feels like a comic where someone popping in doesn't feel jarring, but if someone doesn't, they're their own show.
Yeah.
So I would love, like we said at Heroes for Hire, I would love that that opportunity to bring these characters back, because I want to find out what the third season would have been for both of these shows. And I think they can exist together, especially with Iron Fist being 10 episodes. If you have a 13 episode with the two heroes and it works, then that might work and be the way to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those characters deserve more closure than where they ended. So
yeah,
I don't know if that's going to ever happen. I am very 50-50 on the likelihood of these characters coming back, because this is a tricky time with Disney starting a streaming service and with how Marvel handles their characters. Ted Sarandos, he's one of the higher ups at Netflix, did have a quote saying that they have the rights to these characters and they can keep making the shows as long as they do well. It's not a rights issue per se, according to that quote, but what it actually is, none of us know, and I don't know if we ever will.
Yeah, that's scary. But I'm hopeful. I'm really, really hopeful that this is not the end. We'll see them.
Netflix is actively acquiring most comic book content. They pick up indie books all the time. Like, we don't even hear about all the deals they're making. And then someone in the live chat just mentioned Millar World. Like, yep. Mark Millar's, like, whole pocket, they do own. They own, basically, Rob Liefeld has a whole setup with them with Extreme Comics. We might have an entire Liefeld experience on Netflix within the next 5 years, because that deal is already, that's done. That ink is dry. So I feel like Netflix just is like, well, if this is going to get complicated, what if we go over here? Now, those characters are obviously much less well-known. I'm not saying it's an equal thing. They're not... There's no way a Extreme comic is going to equal the recognition of Luke Cage. But if there are complications, if there are creative differences, I could see Netflix being like, well...
Yeah.
If you give me a Youngblood animated in peak Rob Liefeld,
that would... Dude, full pouch, man. Like, give me some pouches and lot of harnesses. Because we haven't seen that yet.
No, I'd be all
like,
down
we
for
haven't
that.
Seen that full tilt, like, that character yet. Yeah. And I think it'd be a lot of fun. We'll see. But I am going to say, tangenting off Luke Cage and Iron Fist, which is definitely a bummer. None of us wanted this to happen. Daredevil season 3 is pretty dope. Daredevil, spoiler free. No spoilers, I promise. Actually, why don't you start since you're 6 in? What do you think so far?
Yeah. It's so good. It is so good. It's dark. I would say it's even darker than before, but it's, I mean, you're already like 3 seasons in. Mm-hmm. At this point, so you're fully dedicated. So I love Foggy so much. So everything that these characters do, I'm like, oh, are you gonna be okay? Like, don't do that. Do this. Oh my gosh. So already starting that season like that and really killing it with every single episode, especially a certain moment that happens in a certain episode that I've already watched that I'm just like, holy moly, they kept that camera rolling for a while. No spoilers. yeah, that was absolute perfection. That one scene that I'm not going to tell you guys, but oh my gosh.
So and you just good. Finished 6, correct?
Yeah.
Finished 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, 5 more minutes until okay. I finish 6.
6 is, 6 get, goes places.
Okay.
Have you watched any yet? You have a chance?
You're just talking about you could be as more interconnected or less interconnected mm-hmm. as you want. I felt that there were some things that happened with Karen Page in here that it felt like, given everything that happened with her in the Punisher series, it would have made, I would have liked to see some kind of nod to perhaps a little bit more of interconnected. Whether you saw anything or not, just at least some reference to, yeah, there's some things that happened with her and Frank Castle that you're like, oh, given the situation she finds herself in the season.
Gotcha. Like a dialogue choice.
Yeah.
Like just, okay, I gotcha. So this for me is, I think that Daredevil is my favorite of the Netflixes. It's so consistent. The season doesn't feel long for me ever. I think the 13 is perfect for the show. I also feel like there is a lot that the Marvel Cinematic Universe could learn from the fight scenes. I feel like the fights are more dynamic and more comic fueled than anything the movies have yet to accomplish, except maybe Winter Soldier. And that is a huge statement because I love the MCU. I love the fights in Infinity War. I love the way this world is shaped. But when you watch a fight in Daredevil, it is something unique. It is something special. And it not only tells you how well they fight, but it also tells you a story. The style they fight in, the way they shape the camera work, the way they shape these choices, and there are ramifications. People get hurt and they stay hurt. And every character fights in a different style. Daredevil fights very differently than a character that is introduced this season that the trailers gave away, but I won't. Kingpin, which is not a spoiler because he's obviously there, fights like he does in the comics. He squeezes, he tosses, he throws. Like all of their fighting styles are very much from the comic. And then the dialogue is also. Nothing ever reads false, especially this season. The gothic darkness that is in the comic, especially the Born Again that it's very much based off of, is present. Frank Miller is here. It is dark. It is gothic, it is gritty, it is messed up. And a lot of non-comic fans, there's a twist about episode 9 that people won't see coming, but every comic fan is like, will they do that? And then they do. And that's amazing to experience as a comic fan and a Netflix fan. I think that every TV show that is based around this type of property can learn from Daredevil. And I think some of the movies can learn from Daredevil too. This season for me is up there with the rest of Daredevil. Like Daredevil season 1, I think changed comic book shows. I think Daredevil season 2 showed you can have multiple characters and juggle them. Daredevil season 3, I think, shows you can take your time and trust in the dialogue and trust in the fights to tell the story you need to tell. And that character I haven't mentioned on purpose has one of the coolest origin stories. And episode 5 is like an art house film. Episode 5 is like weird, abstract, esoteric, and it's telling the origin story of a villain. It is a beautiful, magical thing.
Yeah, it finally hit me when you were talking about it. I was like, yes, that happened.
Well, yeah. I mean, it certainly ends in a place where, like, season 4 is definitely teed up, given everything that has happened with Luke Cage and Iron Fist. Even though this has been really well critically received, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how quickly we would hear something about a possible season 4.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's an option because this one's doing well, and they've said that they own the rights, and they've said and the cast and crew have said they want a season 4. They've come out ahead of this. An interesting thing live chat just said. Langley saying he had the same feeling as CGM makes me ask why bother when the entire thing seems doomed to have the plug pulled out from us by Netflix. I think you guys are all older than 20, but remember, like, any movie used to be, you might just get that one. I think not experiencing an amazing thing because there might not be another one is dooming us for failure from the beginning.
Yeah.
The way these shows get made is ratings. Like, every view counts. So I think that if you like something, watch the hell out of it. Watch it twice. I think that nothing's guaranteed. We might die tomorrow. I don't think that anything should be looked at as, oh no, this might fail because later. I think Langley is like around my age. So, like, Langley, you remember the X-Men, man. We didn't know after X-Men 2 if we were getting 3. Maybe we shouldn't have. But there's definitely like a, there's a suspension of disbelief that the show ends. It should have a button. It should feel resolved. We should, it should leave us wanting more, but we also shouldn't feel hungry.
Yeah.
So I think that Daredevil's a really good job making us like, oh man, that was a heavy ending, but I want more, but I feel resolved.
Yeah.
And so I think vote with your time, man. Like Netflix just costs you whatever a month. Make sure you get those clicks in, because this show, we want a 4, we want a 5, yeah. I want to keep going. And Jessica Jones and Daredevil, I think, have the best chance of going forward. And we know we're getting a Punisher season 2 already. Mm-hmm. We know we're getting a season 3 of Jessica Jones already.
Yeah, they've already started.
I think we have a good chance of these going for 4 or 5 if we watch them and stay consistent.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I was watching like 4 out of the 6 episodes of Daredevil that I've seen so far. And just, like, replaying everything. And hopefully you guys are still keeping the chat spoiler-free.
Spoiler-free!
Spoiler-free, please. Yeah, it's just a lot, and I'm so glad it's here.
I'm in deep love. I'm very excited. So next week we're going to talk spoilers because we will not do that to you guys. We'll give you 10 days, not like 4, because it's a lot. It's 13 hours of television, but it's so good in my opinion. I really like the pacing. I really like the villains. I really like that it felt like comic dialogue. There were so many moments where I was like, that is just, how did that actor make me believe that line? But also it the world is so grounded, like some weird comic-y things work. The thing, like, there are fights like the one that I described as old boy-esque that feel Netflix and hallway and all those things, but there's also fights that are like, this is a full-blown 90s comic book fight, but it feels real and grounded, and I've shouted out Chris Brewster before, but Chris Brewster is the man who was in the Daredevil suit. As soon as that mask goes on, he's the hallway fight. He is now doing fight coordinating. He is now doing stunt coordinating. He has evolved through the Marvel world, and now he is largely responsible along with the entire team. He's not one man, it's a team, but Chris Brewster has helped shape this world, and he needs more love, because man, is Daredevil a leap above the rest. And it, no matter what, those, even if you don't like the show, those fights are dynamic and different. So yeah, and especially with this new villain that I am wanting to tell you all about, but I'll wait until next week, because I mentioned his name flippantly in the Collider spoiler-free review, because it was in the trailers, but then people were like, oh, I didn't watch the trailers, now it's been ruined. I'm like, why would you watch this, but not the trailers? Like, why would you watch a non-spoiler review if the trailers would have... I've just stuck to the trailers, but just in case, I will not mention this one character, because he's awesome, and I really like how they developed him. Any other final thoughts on Daredevil?
I would just say Vincent D'Onofrio just rocks that white suit.
Yes, he does, man.
Yeah. Man. I love Fisk.
Yeah.
Fisk is incredible. Oh. D'Onofrio, like... His neurotic twitch of a character choice, and a lot of people had a problem with his voice season 1. I think that he's noted that and shifted it some. Mm-hmm. His voice is different than it was, but it doesn't feel like he's doing a new character. He just feels like it's more animalistic instead of, like, you know, the season. I've always liked the way he played him, but I can definitely tell, like, message boards have affected certain choices.
Yeah.
As you know, that's fair. I love when fans' input affects the way a show runs. So this season I think is on par with the rest. I love the Daredevil corner. I would argue Daredevil is amongst the best of any Marvel property, including movies. I think Daredevil is really special. So, Langley, thank you for voting with your clicks. Anything else?
Oh, I'm excited. Give us a season 4 announcement.
Hell yeah. Well, speaking of new seasons, Cloak and Dagger has started filming season 2. We had our first shot of Miss Tandy Bowen's directorial/actor chair. I always think of those director chairs that everyone gets them, but it looks like it's a director's chair.
Yeah, well, why are they called director's chairs?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a director's chair, but that's an actress.
Yeah.
But they gotta sit, too.
Yeah.
But they should have a different name. Either way, this studio chair, I'm excited. Like, this obviously gives away less than nothing. But I love Cloak and Dagger so much that I was like, you know what? We should announce season 2 is filming, because that show was so good. And it was so adult while being young. And that is a hard line to, like, teenhood is confusing. Filming teenhood is more confusing. Having the toad translate, most confusing. So I was so impressed with the show's tone, its world building, its flavor, the fact that I was invested in characters I only really knew from Maximum Carnage. What did you guys think of Cloak and Dagger?
I did not get a chance to watch the series yet, but I've always been had a soft spot for them in the comics.
Yeah.
So I'm, it's one of those things when, in a world where I become infinitely rich and I have infinite amount of time.
Oh, absolutely.
That I can catch up on everything that I've hadn't had a chance to watch yet.
So I watch all the Marvel shows for this show, but I hadn't watched all the DC shows, but now that I'm doing Collider Heroes, I have to catch up on all, like, I have 7 years of air to catch up on. So I started with Flash because one of my friends is on Flash, but I'm starting season 1 of Flash, and then I'm watching season 5 so I can support my friend and also, like, do the show. So, like, between 1 and 5, everyone gets powers.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm just, like, watching them, like, okay, this is quaint compared to what is happening. So it's really funny watching a show that has expanded like that, but it's also really a testament to how much audience acceptability there is. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at, you know, season one of Daredevil versus season three, or even what comic book shows, Smallville to now.
Aww.
The amount of things we can accept is so beautiful. Like, the movies can be full superheroes, and Cloak and Dagger I thought was a great example of that. This is a character that has a cloak on that goes bamf. And then comes back, and you're like, yeah. And a girl that just emits daggers from nowhere that is like, and like truth and justice and them subverting expectations by making them the opposite of the stereotype. Like, this show I don't think could have existed until 2018, and I think Runaways and this show are really paving the way for a beautiful young adult audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm jealous of those kids.
I know. If we had grown up with all of this, I think we'd be even nerdier.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, my poor kids don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to come out, like, tattooed with Spider-Man on their chest. Be like, grow into that!
You're going to love
this
it.
This is your life! But, like, it's a really cool time to be a young person. It's really, I mean, I assume a lot of our audience is fairly young. You guys have it. This is amazing. And for the older audience, you can appreciate the Cap ear phase when he had foam ears outside of his helmet. That was a thing, or outside of his... There was a Captain America movie where instead of cutting holes in the sides of the mask, they put foam ears on the outside because it looked better. And that's what we survived.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful time. The Cloak and Dagger exists, Runaways exists, all these shows. I also want to mention that Daredevil, the entire cast and crew have come out, especially Vincent D'Onofrio, saying how much they want to fight Spider-Man. So I love that the Netflix universe is trying so hard to be like, come on, Sony / Marvel, we're right here. Give me that Vinny D'Onofrio Kingpin fight. So I think it's great that they're all nerds, they're all invested, this is all like one big happy family, and I'm just happy all this stuff exists. Anything before we get to Mary Marvelites?
Mm-mm.
All right, so Mary Marvelite shoutouts. You want to take it away?
Sure. So thank you, Josias Berganza at Berganza Josias, Robert Moran. Hey, are you guys related?
That's my brother.
Oh, hello. Hi. Oh, hi, at Bobby Moran 9141, JJ Lang at JJ Lang tweeted, AJ Russo at Royalty TTV. Sir Harry Palms the Blind at Sir_HarryPalms, Max Russell at MaxRussell66, Tori K at VickyToria1996, and Sky Patterson at Skype1996.
All right.
Sky Patterson.
Now, we got like 10 minutes. So if you want to send in any live chat questions, actually more like 5 minutes, but if you want to send in any live chat questions, now is the time. If you want to keep an eye on Twitter, we can also jump into there.
Yeah.
And I also want to shout out Christian Jackson, who said, happy 200 guys. I've been watching for a long time now, but I can't watch live anymore because of my class schedule this semester. I don't usually ask for this kind of stuff, but 1023 is his 22nd birthday. Woo-hoo! Today. Happy 22nd, man.
Nice.
And congrats on school. And I'm sorry you missed the live chat, but getting smart is more important. And we live forever on YouTube. So please, by all means, thank you for joining us. And a very happy 22nd. This is also going to make me feel very old, but 27 is so dope as a year. You can legally drink. Hangovers don't hurt nearly as bad as they do when you're 30. And the world is your oyster. And you're in school, so you're clearly making good choices. Good on you. The world's your oyster. Preach comics. Any questions from the world of the internet?
So far, none on Twitter. And...
I should have chatted it out earlier. I apologize. But also an announcement for me while those questions are coming in. Unfortunately, my schedule is just, it's a lot. The next week's Marvel Movie News may be my last. I'm going to see what I can shake out. I can see what life's coming your way. No matter what, I will be back for a Christmas special. I want to do the DC Marvel amalgam again because that was so much fun. So worst case scenario, I will be back. We'll do an amalgam universe. We'll talk all things, year review, all those things. But I am always on the internet. So I plan to do a pop culture show where I'm going to film my thoughts on things and throw it on YouTube. So if you want my thoughts just like they've had here, but about everything, Marvel, DC, movies in general, comic books, I'm going to give comic recommendations. I'm going to have my own show separate. I promise I will still be available. And I'm going to drop things on Twitter as they break. So I'll get to break some news. I'll also drop things on Instagram. And you can find me at Collider Heroes, but I want to be more like dynamic with you guys. So if there's things you guys want me to talk about, I can chime in. I'm going to start a YouTube channel because I don't have YouTube.
Stop it.
I post, so my Insta reviews that I do,
yeah.
I occasionally do like 5 of those and just drop them on YouTube. I literally have like maybe 30 videos on YouTube. I don't do YouTube. So,
dude.
This is one of the things that I don't have time for, but YouTube is like, it's not like a scheduled slot, so I'll be able to jump on things. So I'm going to try to have YouTube be in lieu of this because I can do it on a Monday or a Sunday or 5 a.m. when I can't sleep. But Marvel Movie News has been amazing. You guys have been incredible. I will be back next week. This isn't goodbye, but it's the potential to goodbye, and I don't want to just ghost on you guys because I've been with you guys for 4 years. I started on here as a guest on that Cosmic Couch when we were talking about the chance of Spider-Man joining, the idea of Daredevil Season 1, all those things. So I've been here since the, like, a long time, so this is a very hard thing. But... it's most likely it's like 98%, but next week I will know for sure. That is looking like that will be my last week, but that means I get to ride out all through October with you guys. That means I'll get to talk Daredevil spoilers with you guys. I got to experience Venom with you guys, which I never thought we'd do. It has been an absolute pleasure. Do we have any questions?
Yes, we do. Actually. Okay. The first one is from Beeping Goat. Which MCU movie/TV shows do you think has the best chance of getting a crossover?
Ooh. What do you guys think?
No.
No pressure.
Well, I mean, I think if you're looking at it, probably for me, it would be Spider-Man Daredevil.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
they're
just...
pretty dynamic. But yes. The interesting thing is the age difference now.
Charlie Cox
versus Tom Holland are very different than they would be in the comics, but that could be a fun dynamic to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Kingpin, I think, allows for the most logical.
Yes, because he started off as a Spider-Man villain, and he's been so associated with Daredevil.
Yeah.
Especially when Frank Miller got in hold of him. That it's now that he's kind of showed up in the Nick Spencer run again as kind of an antagonist, it's just like,
that's a thing. I think Jessica Jones has a really good opportunity because she's like the angry aunt. Like, there's a, like, for the younger heroes, like, mm-hmm. you could have her be a mentor, but like in that very, like, only Jessica Jones way. I think that Punisher's so dark, I don't think he'd land, but there's a lot of opportunity to have that commentary about vigilantes. Like, the Civil War commentary on what a vigilante is versus a hero, Punisher is ripe for that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So having him as a quasi-antagonist that we all love is a lot of fun, but I think he's too dark. That said, I am curious with Luke Cage and Iron Fist being canceled if we get a new Luke Cage and a new Iron Fist down the line. I'm talking 10 years. I'm not talking anytime soon because that wouldn't be fair. But down the line, I'm interested if these shows stay canceled, if we get a Luke Cage and the Avengers, if we get Iron Fist as part of something, if we get a Heroes for Hire film. I'm not saying this is even a rumor. I'm just saying, like, I'm curious if that is now off the docket, if that's something they're working on down the line.
Yeah, I always enjoyed what Bendis did with Luke Cage and the Avengers, and then later on in the new Avengers with Iron Fist. So it'd be... I'd be down to see them brought over into the MCU films.
I also think, as far as TV goes, Cloak and Dagger and Runaways, that's just easy crossover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely see
that'd
that.
That'd be cool.
Cloak and Dagger Runaways, I think, is the most likely to happen in the next 2 years. I think that's the most, like, come on, it's right there. And they crossover a lot in the comics. Their tones are very similar. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, crossover between the teams behind the scenes. Like, I definitely see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else from the internet?
Zeno Hour asks, what upcoming MCU movies are you excited for? All of the above.
I don't know if there's one I'm not excited for. That's a great question for most shows, but here we just go everything.
Yeah.
It's a great question. There's nothing I'm not excited for. I think every announcement gets more exciting. I think the fact that we know so little, like the fact that Avengers 4 on is a big old question mark. I feel like this is the first time since I started the show 4 years ago that I know very little about the next 6 months, and that feels so cool.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Yeah. Everything that I keep hearing about Spider-Man Far From Home just gets me more and more excited to see a day where we could see Mysterio as a bad guy in a Spider-Man film. I'm just like, yes.
I totally agree. And Jake Gyllenhaal, like the caliber of actor they got for Mysterio, there's a lot of glory there.
Captain Marvel, for sure. That's up there for me. I think, I mean, I've been following Brie Larson. I remember her from back in Sleepover. You've seen that movie.
No,
Frank, I know that's your favorite movie. Come on. Yeah. So I'm just so freaking proud of her. I can't believe, like, she's doing this. And I was actually watching the trailer recently, and I'm like, blockbuster, man. Like, I love the 90s. And I love that we're getting to go back to the 90s. And actually, we're going to be seeing a poster of Sleepover, which, guys, if you've never seen Sleepover, this is totally, like, out of what we usually talk about. You should totally watch Sleepover. It's great, and Brie Larson is fantastic in it.
So what happens when we have a late news week? Sleepover becomes a full subject. Like, we've run out of things to talk about. I asked questions too late. I should have asked earlier. Gamer Girl asks, do you think the Spider-Verse movie will have Madame Web in it? I think that Madame Web, Spider-Man 2099, and maybe even Scarlet Spider are going to be the deep cut, holy crap moments for Spider-Man fans. I think that Madame Web's the least likely of those three because the implication of psychic ability tying to the world, tying to the web. But if they do the web concept of these different universes, Madam Web might be more bite-sized explanation than Morlin and all of the different spider totems and hunting spiders. And that seems, one, very dark for a kid's movie. But two, a lot of story to tell in 2 hours. So unless it's going to be the Spider-Verse series, which it could be, I think it's more likely Madam Web. But I also think Madam Web is unlikely, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but I can understand like using that as a way, you said, kind of a bite-sized way to explain this whole concept. And then if it was successful and they wanted to do a second film, that's when you could introduce Morlin. You could like, oh, these are really the bad guys. But now that we've already established what, how this universe operates, I'm gonna, it's less explanation to understand the bad guys.
Right, and then it can evolve into the conversations because the web's established in one film. Bad guys are established in another. You could build from there. So maybe, but that, I don't know if it's happening. But also, before we wrap, and we have like another minute or two, but WDWNT.com, Walt Disney something something, that's where they have all the details about, they have a restaurant, they have all the attractions, or some of the attractions for the Marvel Universe at California Adventure, the store lineup, all those things have been revealed officially. It was too long to dive into. We literally, it came out 2 minutes before the show started, so we didn't have time to filter and sort, but check it out, because that is very exciting news to have a physical place to go to be in the world of Marvel.
Will it be as good as Marvel Mania Restaurant?
That is the question.
Oh, I remember going to that as a kid. I love that place.
I still got to do the Spider-Man ride in Florida. I got to get to Florida, get on that ride. Any other questions? Any other?
No questions as of right now.
And I saw all the outpouring of love. Thank you, guys. I have loved doing the show, and hopefully it's not goodbye. But if it is, Collider Heroes, Twitter, Instagram, this new YouTube thing I'm going to try, which makes me feel very old to be like, this is YouTube. How do we upload the videos? But it might be the way that I keep getting to share this excitement for you, because Collider Heroes, in that it's everything, it also means I have to skip some Marvel stuff. Like, since we cover Image, DC, Marvel, I sometimes have to be like, no, not that piece of thing that's relevant to me. So I will always want to share that with you guys, and I will miss how open form this has been. I will be back next week, and hopefully I'll have final details for you guys next week. In the meantime, send me stuff, because I love you guys. But where can they find you on the internet?
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. Also, on AfterBuzz TV, I do a couple of shows. And yeah, on Popcorn Talk, we do a box office breakdown where we talk about movies. It's pretty fun. I'm also on Geek Bomb, so we do a lot of nerdy things, which I'm sure you guys would appreciate. Join our Patreon, because we're doing cool Dungeons and Flagons things, so really follow that. And I'm also on Clever, and I also have a YouTube channel, so subscribe, follow, tweet, all of that.
I'll be asking Amy how to do YouTube after the show.
I'll help you out.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. I don't have nearly as much going on as either of two. I'll just be outside eating some popcorn. So,
and box office breakdown.
I'm reading some comics, guys. I'll read some comics.
This is the place to hype, man. I'm not done. I just got these shows and all that comics. Box office breakdown. I love box office figures. It's the weirdest, most like accountant-y thing to be excited about. But it's like, I'm always like, oh, that figure has changed that one from that record. And like, it's exciting. So if you're into that weird math of movies, check it out. Because the ramifications of how movies do is the entire landscape of filmmaking. If you look at it from a financial standpoint, which movies are business, the film movie business, that shapes what we're going to see the next few years. So box office breakdown is kind of like a soothsayer in what's coming.
Ooh.
Plug.
I like that.
And now we get questions. Well, briefly, I do think Alice Eve's character could appear, Justin Gilmore. I think that character was really important and a standout from the show. I think it absolutely is an opportunity. And her character, the way it's portrayed, would fit in Daredevil or Jessica Jones very well, especially with how diverse the growth of that character was. By the end, you're like, whoa, wait, which one do I believe in? Like, there's an opportunity there, I totally think. And as for me, you can find me on Collider Heroes. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at COYJANDREAU. I also host Arena Trivia, which is a fun little trivia app game. Fill up your whole phone, tell you trivia facts. And I also am, like I said, starting a YouTube page. So if you guys want anything specific, since I'm just starting out, it's a blank slate, send me your ideas, send me things you guys want to see. Since you might not be seeing me here, tell me the things you'd love to hear from me. I think at minimum I'm going to do like my three favorite comics of the week, my favorite movie of the week, like just a basis of the things that are exciting me, and then all of the news that has me most excited, because I want to share that with you guys. And I'm going to miss this so much. You guys have been amazing. I love Marvel Movie News fans. This live chat will be missed so dearly, but hopefully I can do some YouTube live chat once Amy tells me how the internet works.
Yeah, I'll show you.
But as always, it has been a pleasure. This has been episode 201. We will see you next week for full Daredevil spoilers. In the meantime, tweet all of us, Wasp box office breakdown, find her and Clever, and until next week, I'll see you guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.